Welcome, everybody, to High Point Church. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we're talking about hearing the Lord's voice and not following a stranger's voice. And we're going to start out in John chapter 10, verse 1 through 5. Y'all have a Bible? If you have a Bible, hold it up. Let me see it. Or an electronic device, something that's got the Word of God on it. You got it? Okay, say this after me. This is my Bible. It's written to me. I believe what's written in it, and I make it a part of my life. Thank you, Lord, for leading me through your word. Amen. This is the word of God. In your Bible is the words of God. And if you want to know who you are in the spirit, you can't just look in a regular mirror. That'll tell you who you are in the flesh. You need to look at the Word of God and look in the mirror of the Word and see who you are. And in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, you'll see the Lord when you look at your reflection in the mirror. Amen. Okay, so John chapter 10, verse 1. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up by some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. Amen? So there's a couple of words I want to play on in here. And it's God's voice. How many of you guys have heard God's voice? How many are still struggling to hear God's voice? A few of us. Okay, good. You're at the perfect place today. Really the perfect place today. So do you guys know what the Greek word for voice is in that? What's this? Phone. That's the Greek word for voice. P-H-O-N-E. They call it phoné in the Greek, but it's phone. So let's talk about this for a second. If I call you on the phone, if you have lousy reception, do you hear it ring? Mm-mm. You may or may not. And then if we have a bad connection on the phone, you may not understand what I'm saying. It might be garbled, right? Might be just parts of sentences, or you might go in and go out. Remember the old commercial? Do you hear me? Do you hear me now? Yes? Okay. A lot of us are like that with God's voice, right? A lot of us get a bad connection. What we want to do is answer his calls. So she doesn't know I'm going to say this, but on my phone, my wife, has a special ring, her own special ring. Guess what? It's the loudest ring possible that this phone will do. Why do you think I picked the loudest ring possible for this phone? Because she's priority number one. When she calls, she supersedes everybody else. That's why her phone's the best. So I've got a little list of favorites. Do you guys? Of people that on my phone I have favorites, and they're my go-to people that I talk with, right? So is God on your favorites list? Is he one of your go-to people? Does his ring ring louder than everybody else's ring? His voice. So you don't follow a stranger's voice, okay? So I'm not going to follow a stranger's phone calls. So who might a stranger be calling me? Telemarketer. How many of you guys get harassed by telemarketers? You know what? I am blessed, maybe better than you. You know why? My phone has a Colorado area code, 719. So when I get 719 calls, guess what? I know it's a telemarketer. If they're not in my contacts, it's a telemarketer. Do I answer that call? No. I run from it. I turn it off. I silence it. I get rid of it. I don't want to know that voice. I don't want to hear it. Okay? God and other voices. We don't want to hear other voices. They know my voice. The word know there, it can be translated know or see. It's like edio, and E-I-D-O, I think it is. And that one there is that you can really perceive. Now, it doesn't mean just hear with your ears or see with your eyes. It's to perceive that God's getting your attention. Did the fig tree have ears when Jesus spoke to it? No, it doesn't have meat flaps on the side of its leaves, but it heard him. Somehow, what he said, whoop, the plant responded to it. Yes or no? So, it could be your entire body. You could get an inkling on the inside, a knowing that you can't explain, just a nudge or what we call a quickening. And that could be God talking to you. Amen? Or you can get a word. My wife often gets words. He'll tell her one word, and then she'll get that word, and then he'll elaborate on that. For me, I see pictures. Some of you guys see pictures too, right? Some of you hear words, right? Some of you see pictures, and then you interpret them on the inside, right? Knowing. That's knowing. Okay? And they won't follow a stranger. Follow. What kind of word is this, follow? This follow doesn't mean like the mother duckling and all of her little ducklings behind her. And as she walks, all them little ones come behind her. This one is more like being an attendant. You're deliberately deciding you're going to receive their input. It equates it to being discipled. When Jesus picked his 12, they followed him. They did more than just he lead them around. They lived with him. They ate with him. They spent time with him. They asked him questions. He answered their questions. He did miracles, taught parables. They heard them. He explained them. He and they were together. They followed him. Are you with me? What I want to remove is this casual idea where people throw out, well, if you're a Christian, you hear God's voice. And a lot of people just don't know that they're hearing God's voice. They just don't know how to distinguish, is it truly the Lord, or is it me? Or is it the devil? You can hear any of those, right? It's very possible. So, let's go and look at a couple of verses, shall we? How many of you guys have heard of Andrew Womack? Andrew Womack Ministries? Okay, he has a teaching. It's called Four Keys to Staying Full of God. Have you ever heard those four keys to staying full of God? So we're going to kind of work on this following part of following God and following his voice. There's four keys to following God, and it's in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. And in Romans 1, verse 21, there's four kind of nuggets in that verse that help us to how to really stay full of God. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So there's four things in this verse. They didn't glorify him as God. So number one, we have to glorify God as God. We have to magnify God. We have to give him attention. We have to be attentive to him. Deliberately trying to know him. Yes or no? Yes. You don't need to look it up, but in James chapter 4, around verse 7, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. In that scenario, who's making the first move? We are. So as we deliberately set out to get to know God a little bit better, as we do that, then he will reciprocate and move closer to us. Not that he's far away, but our awareness and perception of him is a little bit dull. And so as we set our ears, or it says in the Old Testament, incline your ears to hear him, when we decide we want to hear God's voice and we move in that direction, then he reciprocates and moves closer to us. Are you with me? Okay. So we glorify God as God, and then they were not thankful. We need to be thankful. What season's coming up, y'all? What holiday's on Thursday? What great big meal do we get to eat on Thursday? And it's okay. There's no such thing as gluttony on Thanksgiving, right? Praise the Lord. That's abundance. There's a difference. Amen. We get lots of food, right? But what else do we do on Thanksgiving? Give thanks. What are you thankful for? Think about this. Between now and Thursday, really, what are you thankful for? We can get caught up in stuff and look at what we don't have and what's not going the way we want it to go. How people are maybe not behaving the way we'd like them to, or they're not giving us the attention we want, or whatever. You can throw anything out there. And we could focus on those things instead of really, what are you thankful for? What's going well for you? What has God done for you lately? What have other people done for you lately? Betty Jean gave me she called me yesterday and gave me an incredible glory report, right? She got up in the morning. You know, she lives out in the country and she loves it. And she has heat and all that, but she likes her wood burner. Her wood burner gives a nice warm, toasty feel in the house, and she loves her wood burner. But she was really low, almost out of wood. Well, yesterday morning, she gets up. Was it yesterday morning or the day before? Yesterday morning, she gets up and she opens up the drapes and looks out, and guess what? Somebody had snuck onto her property and loaded 4 cords of dried oak in her woodshed for her. Unbeknownst to her, somebody blessed her with oak. You know what? That means they not only had to sneak there and be quiet, but they had to tote 4 cords of wood into that shed. You know how much 4 cords is? It's about this tie and about from that railing to here. That's a lot of wood. That's a lot of wood. And she got blessed with it. So do you think she's thankful in her heart? Yes. If you try to, I bet you can think of some things that God's done for you over the past year, or people have done for you over the past year, and you can get that warm and fuzzy feel on the inside. We've lived through a lot in the last year, guys. So take some time and recant, what have I walked through? What has been my blessings in this year? And we do that with God. We're thankful to God for what he's provided for us. I mean, heck, whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is yours? It is. Your name probably is written in the Lamb's. Mine's in bold print, but your names are probably written in the Lamb's Book of Life too. But I'm convinced mine is. Are you convinced yours is? So wouldn't we be thankful about that? That, whoa, my goodness, that we show up there and he's going to say, come on in, and give us a giant hug as we have eternal life in the Lord's house. Oh, what, that's to be thankful for. How many of you can honestly say that God has blessed you in some way? Me too. Me too. So we need to be thankful. So what else does it say here? And became futile in their thoughts. So this word thoughts is also translated imaginations in the King James Version. So let's bounce off both of those things. We need to really understand how powerful picturing things are. How really powerful. Do you know it's so important to picture things that Jesus only spoke in parables when he taught? That's it. How many people said, can't you just tell us plainly what you mean? You know, he'd take the disciples in and take them around the side and kind of explain it to them. But to everybody else, he gave an example, a story, something they can relate to. Even here in John 10, he's using a farming community and using sheep as their example on how to recognize their relationship with God. How a shepherd and a sheep have a relationship. So we can picture that. My sister has a farm in California. She raises sheep and goats for their fur. I guess it's not fur on sheep, it's wool. It's wool, right? And she raises them for that product. And so I was talking to her about that, and here's what she says. She says, sheep are dumb animals. They bite, and they really have no initiation in life at all. I go, sounds like the church. I wonder why Jesus used that example, huh? Interesting. Why would he choose that? But listen to this. She gets sheep, and when they take them to market, they put them all in this giant corral. And they put her sheep in the corral, the neighbor's sheep in the corral, the guys down the road sheep in the corral, puts everybody's sheep in one corral. Well, heck, how do you tell them apart? How do you do that? What do you do? They're getting sheared or whatever they're getting done to them, vitamins or hooves cleaned, whatever. How do they separate them out? And this is what she says. I call them by name. I call my sheep and they come. Others people's sheep are afraid of me and they don't come. But my sheep come to my voice. Isn't that just like the Bible? I go, wow, that's wild. So I says, do all your sheep come? She says, after they spend some time with me. She says, they got to get to know me first. I got to feed them. I take care of them. I talk to them. I name them. And I spend time with all of them together. And they see me in the pen. They see me giving them their food. They feel me touching and petting them and checking them out. And I'm with them and they're with me and we're together. After I've spent some time with them, then they know my voice and they know my demeanor. They know my presence. And if somebody else walks up, they scatter. But for me, they run to me. And I go, wow, that is like so prophetic on how we are with the Lord. So we have to spend time with him and interact with him to where he becomes so familiar to us that his voice is more soothing, comforting, a safe place, place of protection, place of all of our needs are met in him. Are you with me? Familiarity. Yes, sister, familiarity. And when we get that familiarity, we are. So, talking about their foolish hearts were darkened. So he uses parable of sheep so they can picture it. Picturing is important. If I was talking to you about those sheep and about the way they are, were you picturing stuff as I was talking? You're able to see it, weren't you? Because you're designed for pictures to speak to you. You got pictures, you got feelings, and you have words. And they all work together for what? Communication. That's how we connect with each other. That's how we relate to one another. By pictures, by feelings, and by words. And I don't know which comes first, which comes second, what the order of them are, but I know they all play on each other. It's like as we heard Liz and Cameron and Brian and Rachel singing today, when they were singing, they all had voices in different ranges, but they all blended together so beautifully, I couldn't tell who was leading and who was following. It was that harmonious of it all, right? They knew, but I couldn't tell because it flowed together so beautifully. So whether it's pictures, whether it's words, or whether it's unctions and feelings, it doesn't matter. It all communicates to you and me, right? Yes or no? Right. So, what we have to do is, as we're spending time with the Lord, we need to let our thoughts also be open to interpretation, open to him inputting into us. So I'm just going to say this straight out. When I first started trying to hear God's voice, not like the very first years of my life, but when I really started to really want to be led by the Spirit of God. I was going through a phase in my life where I felt like I knew God and he has spoken to me clearly. You know, sometimes he interrupts us and just completely overrides us 100%. I love that. I wish it was that way all the time. But he only does that when I'm being a hardhead, when I'm not paying attention. That's the only time he does the supernatural stuff, is when I'm so dull, I'm not really paying attention to him. So I was going through that kind of a phase where I was being a hardhead and I didn't really hear him too well. And we were in our yard doing some yard work one summer, and I'm mowing. And as I'm mowing on my mower, somehow a branch caught my glasses and flicked them off my head. Well, I'm not blind. I just don't see sharply everything. So I didn't even know I didn't have glasses on. So I'm continuing to mow and doing all the stuff, right? Well, at the end of mowing all the trails and the woods and the grass and the yard, I realize I don't have glasses on. And I go, oh no. And I am searching, walking up and down trails around my yard. I get my wife. I say, Doreen, I've been looking and looking for my glasses. I can't find them anywhere. And she goes, well, did you ask the Lord? I thought, duh. Why didn't I do that first? What? Why didn't I do that first? So I said, okay. And I'm genuine. I really wanted to know. So I'm standing next to the mower and I go, Lord, would you please show me my glasses? I can't find them anywhere. And they're expensive. Please help me. So that was my prayer. I was genuine. And a picture flashed in my mind. And I saw the glasses on grass. So I knew they were on the grass somewhere because I saw them flash in my mind on grass. Sometimes that spontaneous little flicker of a thought is God leading you. It's out of the ordinary. It's not my normal flow of thinking. It's something that's not a part of my normal flow. It just kind of pops in. Sometimes that's the Lord. So I saw them, just a flicker of them on the grass. So I go, okay. So I just start walking, and I'm kind of like, almost like a human Geiger counter, looking, da-da-da-da-da, what direction do I walk now? So I just decided to walk towards the trails first. I walk 5 steps, and there they were right on the ground in front of me, right in the middle of a trail that I mowed over 4 times. So I went down it the first time, around it, back up again, and then down around to the other part of the trails, back up again, over it 4 times. I could have chewed those things up like crazy, but God protected my glasses. Because I asked him, I took the time to really hear, and I expected to hear. Why? Because I understand that he'll just give me a picture or some kind of a leading. Have you ever lost your keys? Were they at the last place you looked? Every one of you better say yeah, because if you kept looking after you found them, we got to pray for you. But they were right. And how many of you have lost them, misplaced them, and you asked the Lord to show you where they were? And all of a sudden, did you hear him tell you? Maybe. Or maybe you pictured something and you did it. This is my sister again. I use her. I was talking to her 2 days ago, and she had her keys. And like I said, she's got this farm. So she has wool, and she's dyes. That's colors, wool, and all that kind of stuff. So she's got a lot of property and a lot of stuff. She had her keys, and she went into the garage for something. Oh, because she had all this wool in her garage from somebody else. And she was going to get it. Her husband was bringing the generators in, and she was all worried about the smell of the diesel getting into the wool. You know, I guess that's a thing. You like your wool to smell good, I guess. So anyway, she somehow lost her keys, and she's walking all over her whole house, and she's going through every room, and she's remembering, is it in the vehicle? Is it not? Is it here? Is it there? Checking bathrooms and just silly places, couldn't find her keys anywhere. So she asked the Lord. She says, Lord, where are my keys at? And he says, in that box. You know what she says? That's impossible. They can't be there. And went on her way. Guess what? Where do you think those keys were? in that box. She went in, she got something called cones. I guess wool spools go on these cones. And it was full of that. She dug all the way down in the bottom of it, and there her keys were. She must have set it on it, and it slipped inside the box as she was carrying it and lost it. So we can discount the Lord's voice also, because he doesn't like say it with loudspeakers and override us. So we have to be wanting to be led. Are you with me? How many of you want to be led? So we got to let the pictures work too, okay? And so what's the last thing? Their foolish hearts were darkened. So we got to have a good heart. We've got to walk with a good heart before the Lord and before one another. Are you with me? So here's a couple of verses for a heart. Matthew 12, 35. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew 12 and verse 35. And there's some good scriptures about our hearts. And it says this, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. So we need to groom our hearts so that we picture good things, so that we stay focused on good things. How many of you have scriptures coming to your mind where I'm telling you that we need to picture and stay focused on good things? Have any of you ever remembered in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 8? Let's go ahead and read those together if you got your Bibles. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 8. So let's flip on over to Philippians. And my little acronym is Go Eat Popcorn. So it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians chapter 4, it's a two-page, just four chapters, starting in verse 4. With me? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. How often is that? Doesn't that kind of go along with being thankful in all things? Okay. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is far away. Oh. Oh, what does it say in your Bible? The Lord is at hand. Even if he feels like he's far away, he's right there with you. Every time, right there. Be anxious for nothing. Oh, that disqualified half of us. Be anxious for nothing. So in other words, don't worry about stuff. Don't get troubled. Don't be freaking out and getting all fearful. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. That's through verse 7. Stop for a minute. So when we do this, when we rejoice, when we're thankful, when we pray about the things that are necessary, when we realize God's right here with me, you know what it does? It brings peace to you. It stabilizes you. It guards and garrisons around you and protects you, kind of like Psalms 91, right? Under the shadow of the Most High, where we're protected in his presence. So when we do that, when we really do take our time to be thankful and to pray about the things that are important and not get worried and stressed out about stuff, but take it to God, knowing he's right here with me, then in that time, his peace will guard and protect me. But he qualifies that in this next verse. And he kind of tells us what kind of attitude, how should we be kind of living our lives? So in verse 8 it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is anything, any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's a long list, isn't it? So does that mean if the money's getting low in the bank, think about that. Taxes are coming due in April, worry about that. You know, gas is getting high in price, worry about that. Is that what he's saying? What's he saying? He says, think about what's the good stuff, what's praiseworthy, what's virtuous, what's lovely. Think and meditate on these things. So you think he's kind of talking about training the way we're focusing? True north, she says, training the way we focus ourselves. We're talking about hearing God's voice and not following a stranger's. So if we're listening to things that are virtuous, things that we give praise about or praiseworthy, that we're thankful for, that we're really grateful for, and we're rejoicing in those things, do you think anything that's negativity and destruction fits in with that thinking? No. So you'd be, what you're thinking about in those times are the things of God, and then that would be the enemy's voice that would want to draw you into anxiety, right? Yes or no? So, if ever we think the Lord is far away, not paying attention, or wants evil to come on us, we're wrong. We're just distracted is all. Our attention is in a different realm, and it needs to be brought back in and honed in to where we are. Okay? So, how many of you guys have heard of a gentleman by the name of Mark Verkler? Mark Verkler. Two of you, three, four of you. Good. All right, so this might be new to some of you. So this is how I was taught to really learn how to hone in on the Lord's voice. And it's when I went to Abba House, they used this program called Four Keys to Hearing God's Voice. Would you like to hear what those four keys are to hearing God's voice? Okay, how many of you have the book called Habakkuk in your Bible? Or Chewbacca? How do you say it? Habakkuk. However y'all say it. Isn't that a great word? I love it. Don't ever name your child that. It would be terrible in school. Oh my gosh. Don't do that. Okay. So in Habakkuk, let's look at chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 1 and 2. In Habakkuk, chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2. So I'm going to start, okay? You guys got your Bibles? You got it? You're seeing it? You're able to see it? Okay, so this guy Mark couldn't hear God's voice, so he was really praying about how to do it, and this is what the Lord showed him, how he could start hearing the Lord's voice. He's got four keys in these two scriptures. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Verse 2, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he who runs reads it. So, in these two verses are four things. The first one is what? I will stand my watch. So we have to decide that we're going to make a point of getting ourselves quiet and focusing in on the Lord. Are you with me? Matthew says that you go into your closet and shut the door, right? And you pray to your Father in secret. Why would we do that? Because we would shut out all other stimulus. Yes or no? Yeah. If you're talking on your phone and you're hearing a loved one's voice and all of us are shouting and hollering, what do you do? I hope you don't tell the rest of us to shut up, you're on the phone. But you probably will walk out of the room, right? To where what? You won't be distracted by all the other commotion so that you can hear clearer. Yes or no? So, same way with God. We need to get at a place where we get rid of all of the things so we can hear clearly. Next, he says, and watch to see. He wanted to watch to see. So this is in verse 1. So we're going to watch to see. And we're going to look for vision as we pray. We're going to fix our eyes on Jesus. So here's the thing. When you go into your prayer room or when you're going to decide to talk to the Lord and you really want some direction, You only want to talk to who? J-E-S-U-S. Jesus, the Lord. So what we want to do is make him big and everything else small. We're going to set our attention on the Lord. And as we set our attention on the Lord in our pictures of our minds, you may want to get some verses like, say, Psalms 23. And as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in that, when you walk through that, and he leads me in green pastures and by still waters, you may see the Lord there, and you might meet him there in your pictures. When you bring your pictures together and your intentions together, then we make him bigger, and we spend time with him there. Then it's going to say, and what he will say to me. So we're going to see, what will the Lord say to me? Here's what I did. Okay, I had a hard time with this in the beginning. So if any of you have a hard time with it, I understand. But I've done it so much now that I'm absolutely convinced of it. And that's this. I would sit down and I would start praying, and the pictures would start coming, you know, like I would see the grass and the water flowing and the sheep, and I'm there laying in the grass talking to the Lord, and I'm picturing all that. And then all of a sudden the Lord walks into the scene and he starts talking to me, and all of a sudden I'm listening to him talking to me while I'm laying in the grass right there, smelling the grass and the flowers and listening to the water, and he's talking to me and telling me things. So I started this journey of thinking about Psalms 23 and visualizing myself there. But then as I moved closer to him, he moved closer to me, and then he started deciding how that, what I was picturing was going. And then all of a sudden, he started interacting with me in that vision. Isn't that interesting? He started talking to me. And as he was talking to me, I would start writing whatever he's saying to me, whatever he's showing me, and that's what I would write down as he's talking to me. Some of you don't have the pictures, and when you pray, you have an unction or inner knowing, and you'll write those things down. And that's part four. It's write the vision. We have these. I have lots of these. In fact, my wife found one last night from years and years ago for me. And we have these. What do you think these are? Journals. How many of y'all keep a journal? You know, you can keep a journal of God's voice, of just what he says to you. And I start out, as I was taught, and all of us start out as we were taught, that, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? And just let him start leading me in the conversation. It's a lot better to hear what he has to say to me than me trying to cherry pick what I want him to say to me. Are you with me? Because then when he leads the conversation, it always goes much better for me. And I love when he talks to me. So I write it down, whatever I'm seeing or hearing, and that helps me to tune it in. So then you go this. But how do I know it's God, what I'm hearing and what I'm writing down? How do I know if it's me or the devil or God? How do I know? Good question. How would you know? So you know what you do? You take what you've written and you find somebody you trust and you say, does this sound like God? Don't tell me my spelling's messed up, I used the wrong grammar and punctuation, and that my handwriting is sloppy, or you think, you know, should say this instead of that. Don't do that to me. Just tell me this. Does this sound like God? That's all I want to know. And if it's yes, then I know I'm on track. And as you practice and practice, you start hearing how he talks to you. And next thing you know, you've spent that time and you're familiar. And then when he calls you, you jump right up, right? Because you know his voice. Are you with me? So we need to deliberately take time. We need to quiet ourselves down. Create the relationship with the Lord. We have to, as we get in that presence of God, whatever flows up out of that spontaneously, we write that down and we have it as record in our journals. And that's a great way to really learn how to hear God's voice. Are you with me? Amen. So then you don't have to worry about whether the devil's talking to you or not, because you're so focused in on hearing God's voice that you won't listen to another one, right? It's like me and Bruce and Pastor Trey, we have lunch every day. And I spend time talking to them every day we're here. We have very, very great conversations where we all just talk right over each other and just really go for it. Well, I've gotten to know them so well that if you told me something that was out of their character, I wouldn't believe you. Why? Because I've spent so much time with them, I know the way they talk. I know their demeanors. I know what they think about. I know their general flow of their lives. So I know what would be out of character for that. We should know the Lord to that degree also, so that we know when it's God and when it's not God. Are you with me? Amen. Amen.